Take a boat to England, baby, maybe to Spain. Wherever I have gone, wherever I've been and gone, wherever I've
to SBR's Arts and Culture Show.
Don't make me say so hot right now.
Tan caliente ahora! Your weekly dose of arts and culture.
And all of that sort of stuff.
It's that weird thing that they're classics because they're classics because they're classics, and then they become the classics and everyone wants to do the classics because they're classics.
He's amazing.
Well, you need a lot of room for all that blood.
And he's hot as a firecracker.
You're listening to So Hot Right Now. You better not use me saying that.
Amazing babes.
On 2SER 107.3.
Good morning and welcome to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of all things arts and culture. My name is Nicole Beck and I'm filling in for Sophie Lai this weekend, taking you through the next thing of the next hour of all things Sydney, all things art and all things culture. This morning, as usual, we have a loaded show for you. And to start things off, we're going to be chatting about an unintended consequence of labour, and of labour in brackets, which is an exhibition that aims to question who plays an active role in governmental decisions that affect Australian society. We're speaking to the organiser and artist of the exhibition, Raffaella Pondofini, and exhibiting artist Luke Bodley. And then we are delving into the world of photography, chatting about Remain in Light, which is the latest exhibition at Gallery Pom Pom. Then to finish off the show, we are speaking about Between Two Worlds, which is a powerful exhibition that explores Australia's role as a multicultural nation and what it means to straddle a dual identity. So please do hang around for the next hour as there are plenty of things to look forward to. For now, I'm going to kick things off with a bit of music. I wanted to play a kind of special track, I guess, because today is the Day of Self-Centre, which is something we covered a couple weeks ago, which is an experimental art and music festival happening at Casula Powerhouse this weekend. So I'm going to play something from Fabrics, who's playing today. This is their song, Odyssey.
Thank you. Newtown Record Fair is your monthly vinyl record fair in the heart of Newtown. On the first Saturday of every month, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m, Newtown Record Fair features over 10,000 vinyl records of all genres, live DJs, tasty cucina menu, and craft beer bar. Your perfect vinyl record experience. Newtown Record Fair, in the back beer garden of the Bank Hotel Newtown. NewtownRecordFair.com.au, a vinyl record partner of 2SER.
2SER wishes to acknowledge the custodians of the land from which we broadcast, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation and the Wadumatagal clan of the Darug Nation, and their elders past, present and emerging. We acknowledge and respect their continuing culture and the contribution they make to the life of this city and this region.
You are tuned in to So Hot right now on 2SCR 107.3. That was Nick Waterhouse with Ain't There Something Money Can't Be. So right now we are talking about an unintended consequence of labour. Protests, street marches and collective action have been responsible for getting causes and injustices on the map and into policy. But some say that recent changes that regulate these activities are an attack on democracy. An unintended consequence of labour is an exhibition that aims to question who plays an active role in the governmental decisions that affect Australian society. We are speaking with organiser and artist of the exhibition, Raffaella Pandolfini, and exhibiting artist Luke Bodley.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi there.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So this exhibition explores recent regulatory changes around protests and consent. But what in particular sparked you to make this exhibition?
Well, I'd been on the waiting list for that space for 3 years, and I knew that I wanted to do something that changed the way people saw that space, because it felt like it feels like an extremely prominent space, one that's always in the media, one that's always, that you're always passing, as you know, it's on the edge of the city, of the kind of city of the area where people who are, I guess, respected for the work that they do, you know, in the courts and all the corporate people. So, I wanted to really use it and fill it up. And in recent times, there's been a lot, and there always are, a lot of cases around consent and abuse. And I think one of the most prominent cases of late has inspired them to finally all change or look at the laws around consent. So there's been a big push to change those laws, and so that kind of came around the same time. So I wanted to kind of include that.
So what was that most recent case?
I don't really, you know, I don't want to say which particular case, because I feel like that takes away from all the other cases, you know. Yeah, like I feel like there's just constant cases. I mean, there's a case every minute. There's, you know, there's really prominent, but I guess this one was specific to where, you know, the area that I live in, and in the Waverley Council. And this particular person got off on a technicality that he believed there was consent, even though everybody else could clearly see that there wasn't. So there's these laws around consent. Like his explanation was that she pushed back slightly against him, and that made him feel like she was consenting. So, you know, I think we all go, wow, that wouldn't make me feel like someone was consenting. So, yeah, it was a pretty horrific case, but I don't think that should be the particular one. There are hundreds, thousands.
One of many, yeah. Well, you've kind of started to explain it, Rafaela, but can you maybe both tell me specifically about your works in this exhibition and what they're inspired by?
Yeah, Luke, do you want to start?
Oh, my work. So my work is in conversation with Ainsley Templeton's poetry video. So it's like a reel. It's called the Big Brother Monologue, and it's like her swan song. And basically it's this very like nebulous kind of scatterings of words about bodies, eyes, watching, surveillance, and that type of thing. And she's really interested in, I guess, navigating the space between private and public, and the way that I guess corporate labor, personal labor, sexual labor, emotional labor, physical labor is constantly tarrying those boundaries. And so my work is then this like moving image kind of collection that is across or adjacent to it in the main entrance, and it just kind of interacts with it.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. They both kind of reflect on each other because they're in glass boxes. So,
and mine's similar, I feel. I guess that I'm, just like Rafaela said, I'm really interested in the location. You know, it's like a node in the network of power, if that makes sense. You have like all these like officials and kind of nobles, the accused, criminals, the accusers, prosecutors moving through in and out of the space. You have a lot of public media screening the space, using it as a backdrop. So it's like a significant part, I guess, of the general iconography of things. So yeah, so my piece like has different parts to it, but I guess it's just looking at the ways that we as human beings exist in cyber-physical systems. So we live on the internet, and we obviously live offline, and we're constantly having to, I guess, portfolio our lives in different ways to exist, and that involves digitizing and codifying our existence, and I guess selling it off to the digital capitalist lords. So that's, I guess, a dimension of it to a certain degree.
This work also you did entirely through your phone?
Yeah. So both, and it's really interesting because Ainsley, I only met Ainsley recently, but I've always known of Ainsley's work. Ainsley is prolific and amazing. And she contacted me and we started to converse, and we both realized that we do all of our work from our phones, all of our work, like every single thing that I've done, every single thing that she has done. Obviously, at sometimes we use our hands and we use pens and things like that. But it means that like, I guess the digital interface or the user interface of the phone, the applications, is kind of like it bottlenecks all of the work that we do.
and it's the place of our creation, which means that our experience in social media, all of the communications coming through our phone, all of the selfies and nudes and everything that is on the phone becomes part of the production. And so I guess we do that because of the limitations, the capital limitations that we have, because we can't necessarily afford like a giant fancy iMac.
But you're also like on the go. And,
but then
like,
also,
Ainsley's always writing her piece.
Exactly. And the other side is that it's just like it's we're mobile, we can move. And I guess we're also sensitive to the ever-present sense of exposure, that like there are eyes watching and we need to be somewhere in the spotlight. But yeah, it was really interesting to do that. And I guess it plays with the idea of labor and the idea of things like consent and things like having a body, especially in this space when you're communicating all of our conferencing and our co-creation and our exchanges of love were via our phones and all the work that we were producing and images were via our phones. And so it was this kind of this back and forth exchange and this kind of distance interactivity, which was cute. It was fun.
Yeah, it sounds nice.
But, you know, but like that, yeah, that exchange or that bridge, it's not really a bridge. It's like a multi-pronged highway. We all are constantly crossing it in all of our exchanges, in all of the things that we do. And the legal language and the legal bodies and the legal heads that are part of that space do the same thing and exert their power via the same highways, via the same networks.
So one thing that keeps coming up when I speak to you about this is the location, which is the Downing Centre. So how, can you talk me through how you got that, like got that space and how it's influenced your work?
Yeah, sure. So most of the shows that I do, I guess, exist outside. I'm always looking for like a different space outside of an institution. And the Downing, as I said, the Downing Centre, I've been on the waiting list for 3 years because it's so prominent. Like it's so, you know, it's right on the corner. And I feel like I think Sydney is kind of unique in that way, in that I feel like in many other cities or major cities, something like that would be run by an institution. Mm. It'd be run by something, you know, where, because it's so much area of like, you know, really prominent city area. So it just feels right for me. I also did a show in the St. James Station window boxes, which again is completely unused. I'm not saying the Downing Centre is unused, that there are shows there, but, you know, it's not kind of promoted. It's not, you know, it's not curated, it's not anything like that. So they're two spaces for me that I feel like could be really, you know, could be revolutionised in this city as really prominent spaces. So, my work in it is these large banners which are made from chucks, like the cleaning products.
I love it, by the way. I'm like, yes!
Chucks, that's so interesting.
Yeah, so I used a lot of the terminology that was put forward in this proposal for the change of consent, like things like enthusiastic yes and myths and facts and stakeholders and equally safe. And I wrote them on the chucks and then kind of scanned them in. They're blown up really large. And there's also a work which takes a line from Hannah Gadsby's Nanette, as well. So
why chucks? Does it have anything to do with like the disposability or cleaning?
Yeah, for me, like as a, you know, I'm a mother of two kids and you know, I that doesn't define my work in any way, but I have found the constant and the labor involved in that, the emotional care, all that stuff, like extraordinary. You know, it's like a really, it's hard, you know, and that, and again, that they're areas that aren't recognized, but you know, but again, like, you know, people who keep the city ticking over, who clean constantly, you know, who aren't respected, who aren't, you know, it's, chucks is a, you know, it's beautiful. They're beautiful when you blow them up. And it's recognizable, I think. And it's just, you know, yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely a universality in a chucks.
Totally.
So yeah.
Everyone has used that.
All the time.
Yeah. So because this is obviously an exhibition in a very public space, have you been able to gauge reactions?
Yeah, I mean, I really love this show, I have to say. You know, I really, really am very proud of it. The other artists in it, Hannah Bronte's got an extraordinary work in it. Mm. which is I'd rather be a snake than a ladder, a huge banner that you see on the bus as you go past.
Sister.
And Nunzio Madden's also got this extraordinarily beautiful small painting, and Bridget Fitzgerald's got these pickled fruits in this kind of installation. And yeah, I just adore it. So I spend a lot of time down there. I've been going down every day, and in the daytime, I don't think a lot of people that, like the lawyers or the people who are going into the courts are looking at it that much, because it's a really stressful situation. But just seeing their interaction with the work is really interesting. I've had, you know, heaps of messages on Instagram and posts and things like that, and people that have seen it on the news, Channel 7 News, Channel 9 News, things like that. So, yeah, I feel like I've, you know, I feel like it's had a really, really good response, and I think we've all really enjoyed it, like as a show. It's, yeah, it's been a very different experience than the standard.
Yeah, it's wonderful to be able to just put it out there and not have it in a closed gallery where you have to actively enter to see it.
Yeah, well, that was the other nice thing. I was in a shop the other day, and I was talking to a friend in the shop, kind of loud because I got a loud voice, and the woman next to me was like, oh, I saw that show, and she's a lawyer, and she's like, oh, tell my friends, what's your name? And, like, you know, that doesn't happen. Like, so many people don't go to shows.
Yeah, it gets
in
to
the broader population.
Open up the network, and which is really awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. Good luck with the rest of the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
No worries. You've just heard from Raphael and Luke. You can view their works along with the rest of the exhibition at the Downing Centre building on the corner of Liverpool and Elizabeth Street. It wraps up on the 29th of September. All the details will be up on our website after this.
Amazing talent.
Live radio broadcasts.
Fantastic events.
You're on 2SER.
Ever fair in a clever mouth, a mouth that likes to
Hello and welcome back to So Hot Right Now on 2SER 107.3. My name is Nicole Beck and we are about halfway through So Hot Right Now, which is 2SER's arts and culture show. If you missed our last chat, I caught up with Rafaela and Luke from an unintended consequence of labor, which if you want to see is free. It is at the Downing Center in the city and it's a great exhibition. Had a totally lovely chat with them. I just wanted to forward our next, the next thing we're talking about, which is Remain in Light at Gallery Pom Pom. So I don't know if you know this, but right now Google is using artificial intelligence to produce aesthetically pleasing landscape photographs from their colossal database of street view images. So up next, I'm speaking with artist John Butt and writer Michael Waite about the latest exhibition Remain in Light at Pom Pom. So this collection of works shines a light on photography and the boundaries in which it is confined and where it might be headed. And now I'm going to play a track which is, I don't know, potentially not the norm for 2SER, but it is, however, relevant for this exhibition. So this is The Talking Heads with Once in a Lifetime. This is 2SER.
Find yourself in another part of the world, and you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile, and you may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife, and you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
Silent water, under the rocks and stones, there is water under ground. Let it get
Here's a list of ingredients. Take some fraught erotic passion with a handful of star-crossed lovers and a dash of sassy proto-feminists. Mix that together and you'll get a taste of the Japanese Film Festival Classics program, featuring Japanese Golden Age and New Wave cinema. Catch this free film program at the Art Gallery of New South Wales this October. Visit japanesefilmfestival.net for more info. Sponsors of 2SER 107.3.
You are tuned into So Hot Right Now with myself, Nicole Beck. It is now 34 past 11 on your Saturday morning, which means we're about halfway through our show, but there, don't worry, there's plenty of good content to come. So right then, you just heard from the Talking Heads with their track Once in a Lifetime from their album Remain in Light, which, funny enough, is the name of the exhibition that we're talking about right now, which is at Gallery Pom Pom. So Remain in Light showcases photographic work from a variety of Australian artists, including Jane Burton, Elvis Richardson, John Butt, and many more. Curated by George Adams, this exhibition questions photography as a medium, how we use it, and where it's going. So today I'm speaking with featured artist John Butt and Michael Waite, who responded to the work. So Remain in Light may be a familiar title for some listeners referencing a Talking Heads album. What's the link here?
The best person to ask would be George, the curator, but from my conversations with him, George and his partner Ron, who's an artist, Ron will title a lot of his artworks based on pop music, and also George will do that for exhibitions. So, and they basically absolutely love 1980s English and mostly English pop. And in fact, in my conversations with them, George and Ron said they never liked American music, and it was actually Talking Heads that really changed them to liking American music. But apart from that, it's essentially, so if we say, okay, we're getting a title from pop music, and then Remain in Light just references photography and its relationship to light.
I read in your essay that the Talking Heads album, this one, was their kind of drive away into, like, to leave the conventions of a regular group and kind of involving, like, communal creation in the album. How do you see that reflected in Remain in Light, the exhibition?
Well, I think it's a similar methodology. And it's quite interesting when you read up on Remain in Light. You know, they'd become quite a successful group out of the New Wave movement. But the other members of the group were really pissed off with David Byrne and were actually, I think it was the drummer and bass player, Tina Weymouth, they were going to quit and saying, like, he basically, it's like a job and he's the boss and he tells us what to do. And he writes the lyrics and we just, you know, write music around it. We're like his backing group. So there was a lot of tension, and they were essentially saying, we're going to quit and go off and do our own thing. So it became a crisis point, and they really sat down and talked about it and said, okay, what do you want to do? And they said, well, we want to just improvise and experiment, and let's just start playing music and recording it and seeing what comes out of that, and then you can write lyrics around that. And even actually David Byrne came around to that. And it became, you know, there were some big hits off that record, but some of the lyrics he would just kind of free associate, or he was, I know, you know, there's the big hit was Once in a Lifetime, and a lot of the lyrics from that came from listening to, I don't know if it was radio or television, but it was one of those Christian broadcasts, you know, where a preacher was saying, oh, you know, like, what's going to happen in your future, and, you know, what could go wrong in your life. And also, yeah, how it relates to the exhibition, that's kind of how George curates. You know, it was a bit shocking for me when I went in and he said, oh, I want you to write something about the exhibition. I'm going, great, what's it all about? And he goes, oh, well, there's actually no theme. I just pick artists who I like and I like their work and I bring it all together. And, like, it's kind of your job as a writer to put it together. And I thought, and then when I started researching Remain in Light, I was like, okay, he's working in a similar way to how Talking Heads did. And, like, I think that's good, you know, that we don't have to be rational all the time. You can actually bring intuition into it and just go, look, this just feels right. I think I'll do it. And then we make sense of it later on.
Do you think that, you know, you said you're the one who kind of had to draw the connections. Do you think George knows that that's how he works, like, in a similar way?
Yeah, well, because also, you know, I don't just sit there and write all this and say, hey, I've figured you out, you know, like, I've analysed you. So I kept coming back to him and going, oh, I'm thinking about going in this direction and I've learned this and I've learned that. And He always agreed with it. In fact, I put a little quote from an email we had in the text where he said, yeah, like, I do like to sort of improvise and just bring it all together and just, and then actually it's in how he installs the work as well, you know, the kind of the flow of the exhibition that hopefully as a viewer you come in and piece together some whole from it.
It's also part of the intelligence of, you know, his curatorial style is that he doesn't need to articulate those things. It's the choices that he makes and the way that he kind of intuits how one work or how one artist can really bounce off and relate to another. You know, there's, I mean, he's very skilled at that.
Yep.
And, you know, I think the articulation of that through text, for him, he doesn't necessarily need to sort of, sort of prove why he's doing it.
Mm.
He's very skilled at it. And, you know, the friction of those artists coming together, you don't often see what it's going to be like until they're in the room and the artists, you know, have installed the work and they're up there. And then those ideas that are probably in the back of his mind or in some sort of intuitive level he's trying to, you know, aim towards will, you know, be achieved. It's very exciting in those moments.
Speaking about, you know, the connection between artists and seeing how they interact in the space, you also wrote about how, like, a group exhibition reveals something about our era, especially this one being about photography. What do you feel that may have been revealed for you, at least, in seeing it all come together?
Mm. Yeah, and I actually think it'd be wonderful if there was something like, you know, if an institution like the Art Gallery of New South Wales bought that exhibition complete and just kept it together, and then in 20 years' time, you know, you could represent it, because often that's when you make sense of a time. But what I like about it in researching that exhibition is it's, you know, it's quite political. You know, like some of the artists are referring to economic and social conditions, and then other people, and I guess my overall thesis in the paper was, if I was going to encapsulate what everyone's doing, is they're really questioning, you know, a lot of things in photography we tend to take for granted. So some are questioning the medium in itself and what we think a photograph should be about, and other people are questioning its uses in those social and economic contexts.
Speaking about questioning, we'll talk about your work, John, and you, your images. You have three works, and they aim to challenge the conventions that underpin landscape photography. So can you tell us about how you've done that?
Well, I suppose for me, landscape, the term landscape refers to all matter and phenomena in the known universe. So it was a pretty broad subject matter. But it's, you know, we just happen to be in this time and space where landscape is a hill or a tree or a space that we, you know, inhabit or we're going through, or there's a trajectory of that. But what I'm really interested in is sort of pulling apart the material nature of what reality is and looking at the questions of time and space, matter, sort of macro, micro of that. And, you know, through, I mean, photography, landscape photography is very bedded down in capturing what I suppose is this idea of the epic sublime or the, you know, something in nature that we respond to, whether it's fear or joy or something. But for me, I need to try and sort of, my questions are more about going behind what's there and what's, you know, the nature of reality itself. And because, you know, when you are in these places, you're looking at this incredible landscape and you feel something, you have, you know, we keep going back to the term intuition, you know, you feel this intuition about what's happening in front of you. But then if you start reading, you know, ideas about time and or quantum physics or the nature of material, you realise it's something else quite different. And this sort of phenomena is happening, and, you know, it's sort of our interpretation of that, what we're seeing. So what I'm really trying to do with these, like, I use a lot of scanners and, you know, non, like, cameraless photography, I suppose, is the term people use, where you're just using capturing devices. And for a lot of that work, the idea is to make those capturing devices fail to see what the artifact is. So, you know, if you're pushing a device like a scanner beyond its limits, like with the video work, I just smashed a number of scanners and completely destroyed them until our sort of circuits were coming out, and we're still being able to use the scanning wand or, you know, the imaging device. And the more and more aberrations come through, these things, you know, are artifact of the phenomena, or this is what I see as them being sort of outcomes of the phenomena that's happening rather than what we just perceive or see through an image.
Totally. So having your work be cameraless, how do you think that fits into the context of an exhibition that explores photography and its bounds?
I suppose, well, cameraless photography, I mean, it's a tricky term because, I mean, I do also use cameras. So, you know, I use film and digital and scanners and iPhones and everything. It's just about a way that light can bounce off an object and go through something else, which is a medium like a scanner or an image to be able to capture something that I'm looking at. So, the idea of cameraless photography has been around for a very long time, and it's really about trying to push past the kind of accepted norms of what a lens can do and what you're looking at and what this sort of simple transference of the image into the camera is. It's about trying to look at something a bit deeper or something that's perhaps felt when you're in that space.
That was artist John Butt and writer Michael Waite on Remain in Light at Gallery Pom Pom. This exhibition is open now and is running until October 14th. And also it's free, so there is really no harm in going down to Gallery Pom Pom in Chippendale to check it all out. We will, of course, pop all the details up on our show page about that. Up next, we are talking about Between Two Worlds, which is an exhibition that will dip into dual identity of migrative artists. And we'll be getting the curator in studio to talk about that very, very soon. So stay with us. This one is Pork and Beans by Jake Zeres Fussell.
Mama's in the kitchen cooking pork and beans. Daddy's on the ocean running submarines, running submarines, running submarines. Daddy's on the ocean running submarines. Son-in-law, if I'd marry your daughter,
After a year of intensive international cultural exchange with the Kingdom of Morocco, the Casula Powerhouse Art Centre is excited to announce Landless Bodies from October 6. The exhibition and panel discussions will feature six Moroccan and Arab Australian women exploring female identity, spanning boundaries and geography. In a time of dramatic change across the Arab world and the Me Too movement in Western art, this is an exhibition not to be missed. For more information, go to casulapowerhouse.com. Sponsors of 2SER.
You are tuned into So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. It is 10 to 12 and we've got the last 10 minutes to give you a little bit more of what's going on in Sydney. So we are all well aware that Australia is a multicultural nation, but many of us are a hybrid of different cultures and that can leave us feeling caught between two worlds. So the Down Under space at Frieda's will be holding an exhibition exploring this, as well as what true Australian identity is. This morning we have curator Jana Hayes in studio to tell us all about it. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you going?
I'm great. How are you this morning?
Great, yeah. So you've got only a few more days before this all kicks off on Wednesday, right?
Yes, it's sneaking up real quick. Super excited to host our second event, multidisciplinary event. So we've got a lot of artists on board, so I'm super, yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah, so this is the second event. How will it be different from the first?
Well, we have a whole lineup of new artists, from visual artists, spoken word artists, as well as music and DJs. So it's a fresh new perspective as well. So we've got a lot of, this exhibition, we've got a lot of video work, which was a lot more than the last one. So yeah, it's going to be a fresh new perspective.
Whole new show.
Yeah, whole new show.
Awesome. So one of the issues you explore in Between Two Worlds is that of cultural duality and what it's like for many Australians to be between two cultures. Mm-hmm. What are the biggest complications these artists have faced about being in from dual cultures, and how can we see this through the art exhibited?
So, you know, I guess Australia, we are a very diverse nation, and there's this sense of kind of belonging and unbelonging and not knowing where to fit in society. So it's like, it's interesting because it's only been recently where I had a lot of conversations with people about this, and I thought I was alone. And then, you know, you start talking to other people and you're like, wait, we have similar stories. And there's a lot of people that are feeling this way. So it's great that they're, you know, that I just want to create a space for people to showcase and to share their stories through any form of creative expression. Because, I mean, we have different languages and ways of, you know, showcasing a certain notion or, you know, expressing. So, yeah, it's really interesting. It's exciting seeing the second one coming around and you're like, wow, look at all these people sharing their stories through performance art, through digital collage, through animation, you know? So it's all sharing the story and just feeling safe in saying it.
So who is on the lineup for this time around?
So in our visual art section, we've got quite a few. We've got eight artists this time. So we've got Lisa Jane Van Dyke, and her work is called Going, Going, Gone. And it's a beautiful earthware clay work that she has, that's kind of like a reflection of Australia's Indigenous peoples. And as you read, I mean, I don't want to, you know,
give too much away.
Yeah. But I will, so I won't. we also have Roman Yang, who's doing a beautiful photography work. We have Rachel Suarez, who is doing a digital animation, and it's kind of inheriting her memories that have been passed down orally through her family from Latin culture. And she said this beautiful quote in her statement, which I'd love to share, saying how she often finds herself falling in between the cracks of belonging to either cultures. So it's kind of like expressing that belonging and unbelonging and not knowing where to sit. And I guess that's the core of BTW.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So this is at Frieda's, or in the space within. How has that had any, like, has that influenced what work you've selected in curating this and how it's going to be exhibited?
Yeah. I mean, Down Under Space is quite an intimate
Yeah, it's small
very
space.
Small. Yeah. Awesome though.
Very, very tiny. So that's kind of a challenge, especially for the first event. I wanted as many people to showcase as possible. We had so many submissions, but you know, we couldn't. Unfortunately, we can't. You know, showcase everyone. So that was a challenge, trying to choose between certain stories. But you know, we were able, now that we're having more events, we're able to showcase more work. And but it's a great space because you go downstairs and you see the art, then you walk up and then you've got live music, and it's like
it's all happening.
It's all happening in one go. You're just like, yeah. Okay, I'm gonna go for a boogie upstairs and then come down and just immerse myself in some art.
So who's playing music-wise?
So we've got an awesome lineup. We have Flower Boy and Killamy playing a back-to-back set.
Awesome.
On the decks. We also have Saskia, who is a beautiful soul singer, and she's going to be opening the show. We also have Glow, who is an incredible dancer, singer, triple threat. so she's just going to be, like, owning the stage. And she is playing with Moe, who's this amazing producer in Sydney and beat maker. And then we have a to be announced, which is going to be exciting.
Cool. When will we hear that?
We're thinking to release that on Tuesday.
Okay, cool.
So keep an eye on our Instagram and the Facebook event, and we'll hear the full lineup on Tuesday, the day before.
Well, thank you so much, Shana.
Thank you.
I can't wait. Sounds so awesome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No worries. That was Jana Hayes, who curated Between Two Worlds at the Down Under Space at Frieda's. It's a marvellous exhibition, as I'm sure you all agree. And you can find all the details at 2SCR. Just search for So Hot Right Now. Right now, I'm going to take something from Jungle from out of the UK. They released their second album, Forever, last week. And this is their track, Casio.
Casio, playing on my heart just like a Casio, breaking it apart so you can let it go. Oh, wait another year, that's not original. I'll send a call, alright, let's go now. I just want the keys back to my vehicle. They're just gonna tell you that I wasn't you. And I just wanna tell you this is how I feel. I know you feel, I know you feel it. Just like a Casio, drinking it up so you can let it go. We're dirty, that's not original. Send a call, alright, let's go now.
to be a